Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, and then up to chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible says, I am glad when I suffer for you in my body, for I am participating in the suffering of Christ that continue for his body, the church. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people. For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you, Gentiles, too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. 29. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you and for the church at Laodicea and for many other believers who have never met me personally. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence so that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I am telling you this so no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should, and your faith in Christ is strong. Amen. Mm-hmm. All right, so today we are continuing on what I left last week. As we know, John had started with the prayer, okay? And then I came and continued with the hymn, which is the singing. And today, I'm going to continue with the purpose of the Apostle Paul's letter to the Colossians. So this is where we are going to find the purpose, okay? So the prayer, the hymn that is praising, and now the purpose. So what is the purpose? It is very important to understand, you know, the purpose. And of course, each one of us, when we embark on doing something, there must be a purpose as to why we decide to do something. There must be the end goal that we are pressing on in order to accomplish at the end. So this is what we are looking at today. It is about the purpose of Paul's letter. Now, picking from the Greek words that I used last week, we looked at the gnosis or gnosis, which is knowledge. And then I talked about epignosis, which is full knowledge, okay? And in chapter 1, verse 24, all the way to chapter 2, verse 4, the Apostle Paul continues to expand the explanations by describing the gnosis, which is the knowledge. You know, he expands it by saying that this knowledge was hidden. So he uses the word hidden. Now, the Greek word for the word hidden, it is mysterion, from which we get the English word of mystery. I think most of the Bible versions have mentioned mystery, mystery, mystery. And the simple explanation of the word mystery, it simply means something that is difficult or impossible to understand, or something secret or hidden. That's the meaning of the word mystery. And so the Apostle Paul now brings this knowledge to them to say, look, you are claiming that Jesus is the lesser God among the many gods. That's why you are not taking Christ to be the full knowledge and wisdom of God. So you want to add on something else. He went on to correct that notion by telling them to say, look, I want to show you the secret knowledge which you have been, you know, like pursuing, trying to seek, you know, the secret knowledge using your different philosophies. I mentioned about the Gnosticism, you know, way of belief last week, in which they believed that no one can really be a full Christian without adding on the secret knowledge, you know. And by the secret knowledge, you know, they meant that you had to follow the cult of Gnosticism. Following the cult of Gnosticism, and this cult major teaching promoted, you know, the spiritual part. When you go into details of studying about Gnosticism, you are going to find that these guys were claiming to say, okay, the spiritual part is good, and then the body is not good, you know? So, like, in simple terms, I would say that they were going to an extent of denying the humanity of Christ. So they were just accepting the spiritual part of Christ to say, okay, yeah, we accept this, but the humanity part, no, Christ cannot be human. So they were denying that. And when you go further into the Gnostic teaching, you discover that these are the guys who are promoting self-indulgency in fleshly activities, you know, sexual immorality, anything that deals with the body. They said you can do it, it's okay. But because the body is going to perish at the end, it will die, it is nothing. So it's okay, you can use it in any way you want. The only spiritual part, it is what is important, it is what is going to be redeemed. So this is the philosophy which they were securing. And now the Apostle Paul comes to correct that by saying, look, Christ is not one of the lesser gods out of a million, of which you add on to the knowledge that you have in order to attain that fullness by adding on that Gnostic knowledge you are claiming. No, Christ himself is the full knowledge of God. And so, just as we looked last week, he used the Greek word epignosis, which is the full knowledge, meaning that Christ is the creator. He was there from the beginning. Everything is within him. The deity is within him. The full deity of God is within him. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, he carries all that. So he shows them. And then, so where we've started here from verse 24, as I've already said, he expands on making known this knowledge about Christ, which is the Gnosis, okay? And then in verse 27, he tells them to say, this knowledge actually, which I want you to know, verse 27 says that, for God wanted them to know that the riches and the glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Other versions are using, this is the mystery. Christ in you, or Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing in his glory. Praise God. So he shows them to say, look, the fact that you have Christ within you, this is
your hope of glory. You too, though you are Gentiles, you are sharing in this glory. You have the full knowledge. You have this secret knowledge which you are pursuing in a wrong way, which was hidden to you. It has been revealed to you from the time when you came to faith, to believe in Jesus Christ. And so, it now states the purpose to say, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We find this in chapter 2, okay? Verse 2. So the Apostle Paul mentioned the second purpose. Now, I'm saying the second purpose because I've jumped to this one, like, to expand. But the first purpose is found in verse 28. Chapter 1, verse 28. That's where the first purpose is found. I just wanted to point that down. Where he says, so we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. So the first purpose the Apostle Paul had for the believers at Colossae was to pursue this relationship, to pursue the discipleship of these believers, so that they may have the full knowledge of Jesus Christ and in the end be able to have them presented before God perfect in their relationship with Jesus Christ. That gives us a lot of thoughts to say, hey, is that possible that somebody can be presented before God perfect? Or is that possible that we can attain the position of perfection? Yes, it is possible. The one who gives the perfection is Jesus Christ himself. And how do we attain this? As we continue to dig deep in this very knowledge, in having this relationship with him, cultivating it on daily basis by prayer, by studying the word, you know, by sharing the word with others, you know, by meditating, and so on and so forth. And the Apostle Paul says that this is my goal, this is my purpose, so that I can present the believers, those that I minister to, perfect before God. And this should be the aim of each one of us as teachers, as believers, because every believer is a discipler. Even as we are disciples, we are also called to make disciples of all nations. So the people that come to the knowledge of Christ through us, it's very important that we need to disciple them. And our goal should be to make sure that they grow in their faith, in their relationship with Christ, in such a way that they will be able to be presented perfect before God. Amen. So that's the first purpose. And then the second purpose, as I've already mentioned, it is the one in chapter 2, verse 2, where he says, I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have the complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. So his second purpose was to make sure that they get encouraged in their faith. They get encouraged in their faith and they get united in love. as well as attaining the full knowledge, the epignosis, the full knowledge of Christ. So this is Paul's purpose. He wants them to have the fullness of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's very important, you know, even for us to pursue this, because that's why we don't stop. You know, if it was something that you can just catch one day, or maybe within 1 year, you do it once and for all, and then it ends, most of us could have graduated from Christianity, you know. We could have had people who say, okay, I became a Christian, and you know, I studied everything, I prayed every day, and now I've graduated, and I am ready now to just be walking, you know, continuing my journey as a believer, not going to church anymore, not studying the word anymore, not doing these things anymore. I already know the knowledge. I have it within me. So I don't need any more additions. For example, like when we go to college or to school, to the university, there are some studies, some courses that, you know, you study about. And actually after graduation, you never go back to them. Some of you can agree with me. You know, there are some things, a lot of courses, some of them, if I think about them, you know, I don't even see the reason why I should go back to them. But during that time when I was learning them, they stretched my mind to a certain level, you know, which was good. But with Christianity, it's not like that. We don't graduate. The only graduation time is perhaps when we die, we leave this earth to go and be united with the Lord. Or at the end of the age, that's when we are going to graduate. So the Apostle Paul tells them to say, this knowledge, you should have it in fullness. And as we saw last week, he told them to say, as you continue, you know, he wanted them not to be drifted away. In verse 23 of chapter 1, he said, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. The good news has been preached all over the world, and I, Paul, have been appointed as God's servant to proclaim it. So he talks about the continuation. So it's my encouragement this evening that just as the Apostle Paul was encouraging the believers in the church at Colossae, that his purpose was to make sure that he affirmed their faith, pointing Christ, who was hidden, to them to say, look, the mystery that people did not understand has been revealed to you, which is Christ in you. And he continued to say that in this very knowledge, you must continue. And by doing so, you'll be presented perfect before God. So this tells us and reveals to us that perfection can only be attained when we continue to pursue this knowledge in Christ, to believe, as well as to keep the faith. As we do that, we attain the level of perfection. And then he also says something in verse 29, that is why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. So he even tells them to say, look, my labor is not in vain. I work so hard in order to see these things happen in you, to see you grow in faith, so that you might be presented as a bride, as the perfect bride, the church before God. and also so that you may understand this full knowledge which is in Christ, even as you continue to get encouraged and united in love. Amen. So, this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. And then, he gives the warning on verse 4. He says that, I am telling you this so that no one will deceive you with well-crafted arguments. Now, other versions says, with hollow and deceptive philosophy. That's the other versions, you know, with hollow and deceptive philosophy. So he wants them to say, let no man deceive you. Let no woman deceive you. Do not follow that Gnostic way of teaching, but instead follow the true gospel, the word of God, which I first presented before you or to you when I first proclaimed it to you. So he warns them. You know, last week I mentioned about, I gave an example about different, you know, philosophies that people might even use. I gave an example about a French pastor, you know, who was using the principle of seed and need, the principle of two E's, you know, to say the two E's cancels each other. And then he was getting money out of people, you know, by using that. So there are so many different ways people can deceive others through the teachings, okay? So the Apostle Paul wants to say, let no one deceive you by using empty philosophies, arguments that do not add up, you know, to this true knowledge of God. And then he concludes, this passage, my passage is concluded by saying, for though I am far away from you, my heart is with you. And I rejoice that you are living as you should and that your faith in Christ is strong. So he commends them at the end to say, yes, at least I have given you these teachings and I have warned you about these things. This does not mean that I hate you or I don't love you, but I want to commend you that I am happy, I am rejoicing that you are making progress in your faith and I receive good reports concerning your spiritual growth. Amen. So today, this is where I'm going to end. Let's pray together. Lord, we are so grateful for your faithfulness. Thank you for this word. Thank you, Lord, that today you have continued to show us the purpose as to why the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church at Colossae. He mentions it that his purpose was to teach them so that they may be able to understand the mystery, the hidden knowledge about Jesus Christ, which is the full knowledge of the deity. And also that they may be encouraged and be united in love. And also be able to continue to pass on this word to others. Mm-hmm. We give you glory, Lord. We give you praise. We pray that, Lord, indeed, even us today, may we hold this word dearly in our hearts. And may we not drift away by following all manner of deceptive knowledge in this world, philosophies. But may our faith be rooted in you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.